Good evening. We'd like you to turn your Bibles, book of Matthew, chapter 1. We'll be reading verse 20 through verse 23. We'd like to entitle the message here today, What's in a Name? What's in a Name? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. As we come here, this is on a Friday afternoon, getting this ready to put on the over on a disc and then get that over on the computer. My daughter Rebecca takes care of that. Get that over on the sermon audio for your listening here this evening. And as we are getting ready to preach this and be on the air here Sunday night, we pray that we've had a good service this Sunday. We have a drive-through service. We thank the Lord for that. Pray we'll be able to continue that on until we get back in the house of the Lord to worship. And we believe that's going to be real soon. As far as the governor said, if all stays on track, we're going to be very cautious about that. We're going to be concerned and pay very careful concern to our people and their concerns about their health and their well-being. So we're going to structure that the very best that we can. I'd certainly encourage you to share with me how you feel about that and to come in the house of the Lord, whether you would feel comfortable wearing a mask or coming in the house of the Lord. But we'll talk about that and discuss that in the next several weeks. We're not going to have any deadline. We're not going to rush or push through anything. We want our people to feel comfortable. We thank the Lord for what we're able to do on the audio, the visual things we're able to do, keeping the sermons out there, having the evening prayer, trying to keep things mailed out to individuals, also the phone calls, text messages. We're able to continue to share, me and Sister Sandy. And we thank the Lord for that. We also would appreciate and do appreciate those who are calling one another and pray that you continue to do that. Check on one another and pray one for another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time before we read our text in the book of Matthew. Our Father, Lord, we ask you just to bless her today. Lord, we stand in need. Lord, I stand in need. Lord, we're a needy people. Your people, Lord, have great needs. We've got many on our prayer list, many situations, health concerns, Lord, salvation concerns of our loved ones. Lord, we have those concerns of those who have been had operations. We ask you, Lord, to bless them, take care of them. We have those that are having some pending procedures to be done. Lord, we pray that all goes well for them as according to thy will. Lord, we pray for those who are on the front lines. Lord, those who are in the hospitals, the health care workers. Those in the stores, those who are right there amongst the people each and every day. Ask you, Lord, to protect them in a good way, in a special way. We thank you of the very young. Lord, we thank you of the elderly and ask you, Lord, to protect them. Lord, we pray that our people will be safe and they'll feel safe in all that they do. Lord, I pray that you'll put a hedge around them. And Lord, I ask you just to bless them. And Lord, take away their concerns and their fears. Lord, their anxieties. And Lord, may we learn to trust completely upon you. Lord, that's easy to say till we're right in the midst of the fire. Lord, we understand that you're right there with us. Never put more upon us than we can bear. Lord, you'll be with us in this life, and Lord, even in the life to come. Thank you, Lord, for all good and wonderful things. Again, bless the service here at this hour. In Jesus' name we pray and ask forgiveness of sin. Amen. Again, we title the message, What's in a Name? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through verse 23. Got several different scriptures we're going to be looking at, going to turn to. We might not turn to all of them. We like to try to keep our devotions, our messages, right at around 30 minutes or just a little less if we can. But we just ask the Lord that whatever is said here today will be pleasing to Him and might be an encouragement, help to you in your spiritual walk as a child of God. And certainly if it be one lost, they would be saved. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through Verse 23. While he thought, speaking about Joseph, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which has been interpreted, is God with us. Again, what a great passage of Scripture. The title again, What's in a Name? Our text verse will be verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which has been interpreted as God with us. In the Bible, we see that most usually that the names that are given to the children of by the parents in the Bible are names that are chosen with specific reason, and it is a name that means something. A name has great significance, much more so than in our modern times and days we live here in America. Here in our text, we see that Mary, the spouse wife of Joseph, was to have a child. The name would be called Jesus, which means Savior. Then in our text verse, in verse 23, the angel said he would call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus, Savior, God in human form, yet without sin, for he still held on to his divine nature as well. Emmanuel, God with us, came to this earth, left the glories of heaven, laid those aside for a while, came to this earth, born of a virgin, to be the Savior to his children. He's creator, the creator, the Savior, the sustainer. What a God we serve. What's in the name? What's in the name of one called Jesus? Let's turn now to our name. Not our given name that we have, but the name of the one called Jesus. The name that he's given us. The name that we're referred to in the Bible. The name that we're referred to by our great God of heaven, our Savior. And may we, with joy, accept those names that we have. There has been times, as the first we're going to use, and look at a name that we have that we should carry humbly, yet boldly, is the name of being a Christian. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26. You know, people called him Christians. Now, it was a Christian called him Christian. Why? Because they was imitating and being like Christ. But also, it could have been a name of derision. Christian, like that one called Jesus Christ of Nazarene, the one they crucified. Sometimes people will call us by names. The name we carry as Baptists is a name that was given to us by those that opposed the cross of Christ. They opposed true Christianity in years gone by. And I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. And for a while they called them Anabaptists or rebaptizers because they wouldn't accept the baptism of those. There's only one church at that time. Is an organization. I don't believe the Bible declares that they have the right to be called a church. But at the same time, they would not accept the baptism of those who come out of that organization. And they would rebaptize them once they made a profession of faith. And they called them Anabaptists, rebaptizers. And after a while, the name Anna was left off. Sometimes people call us by names of derision. But they're names we can carry boldly and proudly. We carry the name of Christ in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and he came to pass the whole year they assembled together with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Do you bear the name of Christian? Do you carry that name humbly? Realize the significance of what it says? What it means that you are like Christ? Do you bear that name of Christian humbly? But do you yet boldly accept that you are a Christian? Do you bear the name of Christ humbly yet boldly in all circles of your acquaintances? Everywhere you go, everything you're a part of, are you proudly, boldly, yet humbly letting people know that you are a Christian? in all circles of acquaintances? Or do you, like Peter, in fear sometimes try to hide that of who you are and what you are? Do you feel like that you do enough justice to the name, that you bring honor to Christ? You know, we shouldn't have to wear, and I'm certainly not opposed to wear a hat that talks about you being a Christian or a Savior or a Lord, or T-shirts with that logos on them. I have no opposition to that. But you know, we shouldn't have to wear that to let people know we're a Christian. They ought to be able to see us by our demeanor, by our actions, by our attitude, by our words, that we're like our Savior. I always liked the first time I ever heard the preacher make the comment years and years ago. He said, if you was on trial to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? When you think about your forefathers and what they went through during the Dark Ages, if you take time to read the little pamphlet, The Trail of Blood, if you take time to read books like the Fox's Book of Martyrs, other books that are available, history of our forefathers and years gone by, what they endured. And they had trials, and they would try them. And they would kill them. And the very things that they killed those martyrs for in years gone by, especially you take time to read that book through the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs, you see some of the very things that they was killed for, the same things that we hold true to today as God's children. But would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? That's a name that we ought to take great, great pride in. Not in ourselves, but in our Savior. We ought to do all we can do to magnify Him and glorify Him as we're called a Christian. What's in a name? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, and that we that are saved, born again by the blood of Jesus, the Bible says that we are a new creature, that we're a new creature in Christ. Therefore, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creature. Are you a new creature? Have you cast off the works of darkness in your life? Greatest testimony to others that you can have is a new life, that they see Jesus in you. We're to proclaim it with our lips, but also we're to proclaim it with our life. I've talked to people that have gotten saved, and God saves. He doesn't save apart from the gospel. But as they hear the gospel message, they hear about a new birth, they hear about a transformation in a person's life, and then they have somebody in their life that they're around that they see that has truly been saved and born again, and it reveals to them that they don't have salvation. Why? Because they never had a new birth. The old man is there, and there's no new man within. They're not a new creature. They see that. Again, what's in a name that we're a new creature? That speaks volumes. When people can say to you and come up to you and say, hey, I've seen when you got saved and I've seen such a change in you. That's what there's power in a name. What's in a name? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through verse 19, we're called redeemed ones. We that have been redeemed. Have you had your sins taken care of? Have you had the sin debt paid for? Have you been redeemed from a world of woe? And the price of your redemption, the price of your redemption in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Have you been redeemed? Have you been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus? how that you should be showing to others this great redemption that you have in Christ. Show to others that there's been a change wrought within your being and your soul, and no longer are you living a life of sin. You've been redeemed. You've been bought out from the market of sin. You've been redeemed. Number four, in Luke 14, verse 27, Jesus speaks about disciples. We're referred to as a disciple. Do you see yourself as a disciple of Jesus? Now, you may want to say, yes, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Well, Jesus said in John, in the book of Luke 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you show forth your loved ones, your family, your friends, those in your community? Do you show forth others that you have willingly forsaken the pleasure of this world and you follow Jesus? Lost people so much want to straddle the fence. And sometimes it's the same with a Christian. But Jesus gave the test of a true disciple, and that is, Jesus said that they follow Him. They follow Jesus. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Are you following Jesus? Can you bear the name, and bear it justly so, that you're a disciple of Jesus? Then in John chapter 15, verse 11 through verse 14, are you a friend of Jesus? That's a special name that we're referred to in the Bible. To be a friend, designated as a friend of Jesus. In John 15, verse 11 through verse 14, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Are you a friend of Jesus? You know, we have a lot of acquaintances in life, but it may be true friends, not so many. A true friend is hard to find. And if you have a true friend, it's sometimes even harder to keep that friend as a true friend. One of the best definitions I ever heard concerning what a true friend was this. A true friend is one who walks in when everybody else is walking out. Can you understand that? A true friend is one that is walking in when everybody else is walking out. That's a true friend. Jesus is that friend. Says He'll never leave us or never forsake us. In Proverbs 18, 24, the Bible says there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. And that's Jesus, our friend. Are you a friend of Jesus? Again, we read in John chapter 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Are you following the commands of the Lord? If so, you're a friend of Jesus. Number six, we can speak about being an heir. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and verse 27, we read about heirs. Let me take time to read this passage. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. An heir of Jesus. What a name that we are to designate as an heir of Jesus. Not only heir, but a joint heir with Jesus. Suffering this life, but oh, what glory awaits the child of God. A joint heir with Jesus. You can get excited about that. Let me read number 7 about an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20, an ambassador. What a name to carry, an ambassador of Christ. What a wonderful job it would be to travel all over the country. All over the world as an ambassador of the United States of America. I would think that would be a very privileged and blessed position, a job, an occupation to have. Privilege to be able to share with other people, other nations, the hope, the liberty, the opportunities that America has to offer. And then be able to live your life. I mean, the bachelor's got to live his life and reflect the values and the principles of the country that he is an ambassador of. And as he goes to be an ambassador, to show forth the good qualities and the good things and the good ideas of the nation they're to represent. As an ambassador of the Lord, what are we to do? The same thing as an ambassador of a nation would be called upon to do is to show forth the Lord as almighty, sovereign, and what he has to offer in way of hope and happiness and salvation. What a God we serve. What a privilege to be an ambassador. Are you busy being that ambassador? Are you showing forth the people the goodness and graciousness and the greatness of your God? Number 8, Revelation 1:6 speaks about being a king. Like Lazarus of Luke chapter 16 on this earth, may be your lot. Maybe you don't have all the things in life that you would like to have. You see others have all of these things and toys, and you wonder about that and you worry about that. And those will be evildoers, seem like they prosper. But their prosperity will come to a quick end. But what awaits us? Kings. What awaited Lazarus, carried by angels into Abraham's bosom? On this earth, a servant. But the Bible says in heaven, what awaits us? What awaits us? Unimaginable glory and honor in a place called glory. Number 9 of Malachi chapter 3 verse 17 we're referred to, we that are born again, children of the Lord, saved. It referred to the word jewels. This passage has always been, had a special meaning to me. I hardly ever wear a ring, never a necklace, or a bracelet, not even a watch. But I like jewelry. As a child, I used to think about treasure chests and finding great troves of treasure. The old pirates with all the jewels and the treasure chests that people would find. I like to read about these treasure hunters that dig up these ships that have been in the ocean and the treasures they find. And then to stop for a minute that the Lord thinks of me as a jewel. A precious jewel. You know, that excites me. That gives me delight in my heart. Then lastly, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through verse 16, the Bible speaks of you and I as being a light. As being a light. My goodness. Problems occur when the lights go out. What chaos that brings when the lights go out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is hid on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, which is in heaven. What problems again occur when the lights go out? As lights of this world, what do you think happens when we don't let our light shine? Chaos comes. The Bible speaks about when he that letteth will let.
is removed. I believe referring to the Holy Spirit before the great tribulation comes upon this earth. As we are removed, the presence of the Holy Spirit is removed off of this earth. What chaos as this earth is plunged into spiritual darkness. May we, like little children, declare, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine till Jesus comes, this little light of mine. May that be our heart's desire. Let our light shine for Jesus. And we are a light. We need to perform as a light. What's in a name? Our given name was selected by our parents with forethought and care. Possibly in honor of someone they perhaps respected or cared for. Or just a name they thought was befitting of the Lord, of the one they love. Sometimes family or friend may give us a nickname. Maybe it becomes a name that sticks to us through life. It's interesting to know that Almighty God knew us before He was ever born. Jeremiah 1:5 and Ephesians 1:4, He knows our name. He knows a new name will carry throughout eternity. As the Bible speaks about a new name that will be given in heaven. While on this earth we can take delight in all the descriptive names He gives us, His children. What's in a name? It's who we are. What's in a name concerning our Lord? It's everything. It's salvation, eternal life. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, in our text, Emmanuel, our great God and our Savior. May you know Him as your great God and your Savior. May you know Him. What's in a name? What's in a name? Concerning Jesus, as we said, it's everything. May Jesus be everything to you. Heavenly Father, just dismiss us with Thy blessings. Again, bless the people. Bless those that are listening in. May Your Word go forth with power and find lodging in our hearts and in our souls and our beings. Bless again, Lord, we pray. Have mercy upon us, forgive us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.